I'm Blake Giles.
I'm Jim Harden.
And this is Sidelines.
And Headlines.
And it is that time of the year. It is all playoffs. It's getting down to the crunch time, and every game is win or go home.
In college and in high school.
Yeah. Well, we're coming up on the state championship finals now for high school, except for Class 5A. We still got to settle the semifinalists there because of that Gainesville situation where they had a lawsuit and were able to get an injunction and they delayed their game.
But Gainesville won. I heard some people say I didn't think Gainesville was going to win anyway, but
well,
they won.
But they did. They beat Hughes 40-32, and now they've got to play. Who do they play now? They will go into the Roswell will play at Thomas County, and Gainesville will play at Rome, and that's going to happen on Thursday night.
So right.
By the time some people hear those games will be in the past. But they've jockeyed the schedule around as a final, so they'll have about 6 or 7 days off between those games and when they get to the Mercedes-Benz for the championship game. Well, the big game, the 6A game, is going to be Buford against Carrollton. And this is the odd thing. Both of those teams are ranked number one in the country.
In the country, in different polls.
Yeah.
And Carrollton beat Grayson, who was ranked number one about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. So, Buford, my son and my daughter-in-law are Buford fans. They live up there. And they've been fortunate enough to sit in one of those box seats at that fabulous new stadium a couple of times.
Stadium's nothing to sneeze at.
Well, I've never been up there, but Buford kind of set a new standard for the state of Georgia.
Before Buford did their thing, Carrollton probably was the nicest stadium.
Well, I've always heard that they had the best facilities overall, sporting-wise, of just about any high school in the state of Georgia. So it's going to be interesting to see which one of those can come out with a, quote, national championship. I remember all the way back to 1969, Athens High and Valdosta. I think we've talked a little bit about that game before. Valdosta came into that game ranked number one in the nation. Now, Athens High was not ranked anywhere at all in the nation, but they wound up with a tie and shared the state championship. I think Valdosta still was able to claim the national championship. Of course, it's all...
That's very mythical.
That's right. It's just... It's like it used to be in the colleges.
That's exactly right.
Somebody takes a vote.
I know we're going to talk about that later,
too. Yeah, so that will be a big game, Buford against Carrollton. The 4A game is going to be Benedictine against Creekside. Now, from what I hear, Creekside is, some say they're the best team in the state.
Loaded, yeah. And Benedictine, they beat Marist, which is always a tall order. You got to be well coached to beat Marist in the semifinals.
Oh, yeah. Alan Chadwick has been up there forever. I guess he's in his 40th season or something
he's
that.
He's over 40, yeah.
Yeah, he's been there a long time. And they've had great success up there for years and years. So Benedictine is in the finals for the first time since 2022. And Carrollton's, this is their second time in 3 years. Creekside, no surprise to them. In the 3A championship, Jefferson, right up the road, against Sandy Creek. Sandy Creek used to be up like 4A or 5A.
They drive down. Sandy Creek's very good. I went to the Jefferson game, as I mentioned last week. A guy from my hometown, Kip Burdett, is the coach at West Lawrence, which is who Jefferson played. He is the grandson of Coach Dan Pitts from Forsyth, and the nephew of Coach Dan Pitts, Lee Comkus, is the coach at Lincoln County.
Okay.
They're playing in the finals. I know you won't get to them in a minute.
Yeah. So what was your impression of Jefferson? I mean, they really shut down that West Lawrence running attack.
Well, I think he had a little ankle injury. He was a little dinged
right.
up. But I was very impressed with both of those teams, just the way they played defensive football. I mean, Pete, they didn't miss tackles. It was, I don't know how you gauge that, of how good the offenses really were. But it was a good old-fashioned. It felt like Jefferson controlled most of the game, but the score was close. I mean, it was a good game.
17-13 was the final score. Yeah. And as you say, Ty Cummings, he had the ball. He carried the ball 1 yard on 4 carries. So this is a guy who came in with 2,600 yards rushing. So obviously that was a factor in the game, probably.
It was.
Yeah. Then in 2A, we've got Carver of Columbus against Hateful Charter. And I want to talk about that Hateful Charter game against Sumter County. It was an overtime game that they won. But here's what happened. Sumter County scored a touchdown and a two-point conversion to force the tie right near the end of the game, 18-18. But Hateful Charter, they was tackled at the Sumter County 5-yard line on the last play of the game on a 45-yard run. They almost
won in regulation. Yeah, I saw that.
And then in overtime, Hateful missed the extra point after they scored their touchdown, but they stopped Sumter County and got the win. Sumter County, I think this is the furthest they've ever been in the playoffs. Back when it was America's, they had some championships.
Yeah, they had some really good teams back when it was America's High. Then it was America's Sumter. Now I guess that's the only one. And the other game, the other team, you know who Carver Columbus's coach is, don't you?
Oh, yeah, that's Jarvis Jones.
Yeah.
He's first year that he's there and done a great job.
I saw where the whole coaching staff came out in camo to get the guys fired up.
Well, then we've got in the Class A Division One, Worth County against Toombs County. Now, I don't know anything about either one of those two teams. You got any insight on them?
My parents lived in Toombs County. They moved there when I was in college. You know who's in the NFL Hall of Fame from Toombs County, Georgia?
No, I don't.
Mel Blount with the Steelers.
No kidding.
Yeah, and he was before integration. It was actually, he grew up, I think, out in the country in Toombs County, but it wasn't Toombs County High School back then.
I got you. Uh-huh.
But, and I know some people down there. I see them posting on Facebook. I'm like you. I don't really know a lot about that game.
Yeah. Then in the Class A, you mentioned Lincoln County. They shut out Early County 34-0, and they're going to play Bowden, which beat Clinch County 45-6. That sounds like a heavyweight matchup there.
It does. You know, Lincoln, I always say Lincolnton. They used to be Lincolnton before integration.
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln County, I think I saw it's the first time they've been to the final since 2006.
Yeah.
And they used to be the Valdosta.
Oh, they were there every year.
Single A football.
They won the state championship 11 times under Larry Campbell. And, of course, he retired. I got a chance to meet him. He came to the Prince Avenue game last year in the semifinals when they played, I believe it was Bryan County, which is coached by one of his old players.
Okay.
Who actually then he also was coached by my cousin Glenn Hardiman, the backfield coach at Lincoln County. I'm really hoping that the Red Devils can get a win. It's been a long time since they've been a champion.
It has.
19 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, they used to win it seemed like every other year.
And then we got Calvary Day against Hebron Christian in the private school. And
we know what's going to happen, though, don't we?
Hebron Christian's going to win the game, no question about it. Devon Caldwell, by himself, is a game breaker. He had 6 touchdowns against Prince Avenue 2 weeks ago, and then he had 5 touchdowns in their game against Greater Atlanta Christian. I don't know if I told you this. When they played Prince, it was a cold night. It was like 40 degrees when they kicked off and cooled on down after that. But the Hebron players came out without their shirts on.
Yeah, you told me that.
And I said, well, the Wolverines got a good look at his biceps, his six-pack, and his pecs before the game, and they got a good look at his backside after the
game
started
because
he was running down the field. And he's a real deal. And then he's got a companion, Jarvis Mathurin, the receiver, who had 2 90-yard touchdowns against Greater Atlanta Christian. They're just too explosive. I don't think Calvary Day can do anything with him. Now, I am impressed with Calvary Day's little quarterback, James Mobley. He's a little left-hander. He's about 5'9". His height is going to keep him from being anything going to big school, but he's got a great arm, good touch, and runs around pretty good. And they can score some points. I just don't think they can score enough to take on Hebron.
They've been good. I mean, Calvary ain't going to be scared of Hebron.
This is their first year under a new coach. The other coach retired after like 20-something years down there. So they've had a great tradition down there. They never won the state championship, though.
I don't even think they won it. They used to be back in the private school league that I kind of grew up in with all the Macon schools, them and Savannah Christian for years. Mm-hmm. And Savannah Christian used to dominate that league.
Yeah.
And, but I don't even think Calvary ever won one back in the old league.
Have you ever been to that campus?
Yep.
It's landlocked. It's really tight in there. I don't remember if they got a baseball field on the facility or not, but their football stadium is really crammed in there. They don't have a lot of room.
Yeah, my youngest son played a playoff game down there when he was in high school.
Yeah. We did a game down there 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and we went used the press box. We got up on top of the press box. Those are the steepest stairs I've ever climbed.
That's a big stadium for a little school like
that. It is a nice stadium. And then last year when we went, we just stayed in the bleachers. We had so much equipment, we didn't want to have to call it up to the top of the bleachers and everything. So those are the finals and everything. Again, other than Hebron, I'm not picking any of them. I think it's a done deal. Hebron's going to win the championship. They're going to stay in AA next year, whereas a lot of the other schools will drop down to single A when they reclassify. But they'll still be in that same division when it comes state championship time.
Well, we can kind of halfway claim Jefferson kind of being in our geographic territory.
Yeah.
I think that they're going to have a tough – they're good. They're well-coached, but they're going to have a tough
well,
time.
Sandy Creek, I saw them beat Clark Central in the state championship game back when they was in the Dome, and that was when they were like a 4A or 5A team. So I don't remember which it was. So they've been a perennial power, too.
They're good. Jefferson, we cheering for Jefferson, but it's going to be tough.
Yeah. Have they won a state championship? They've won state championships, but it's been a while.
It's been a while. They were in the finals last year, I think.
I think they were. Yeah. I think they were. Well, we can hope for the Dragons and hope they win, and that'd be great.
And we'll adopt Gainesville, too, if they win it all.
I'm not sure I want to adopt
Gainesville. Yeah, I'm not sure. We might get a black eye.
That's right. All right, we'll be back in a minute. We're going to talk some college football. Right here on Sideline.
We may be here all night.
That's right.
Coming to Brett's.
Remember, send us some emails to sidelinesheadlines@gmail.com. There's no ampersand or anything, just sidelinesheadlines. And also, subscribe to us, like us, share the links with your friends, and get the word out about Sidelines and Headlines.
And come to Brett's and eat.
Yeah, we'll be back in a minute here on Sidelines and Headlines. Hey, that's Jim Hardy.
And that's Blake Giles.
And this is Sidelines.
And Headlines.
And we're going to talk about the great Georgia win over Alabama, 28-7, the most wide victory margin over Alabama since the 21-0 shutout in 1976 when Bear Bryant came to Athens. All the Georgia players had those belts after the game, and it really was a whooping. Put it on them.
They did.
What was your impression of the game?
I was impressed with Georgia. I think, that first game was a long time ago when they played. It wasn't the first game of the season, whatever it was, the third. But it seemed like two different teams.
Yeah.
Alabama, obviously their running game is a little bit wounded. I think Georgia wins the game. I mean, Georgia wins that game regardless. But, Alabama, the block punt, if you're an Alabama fan and you're just grasping it, they were hanging on by their fingernails. You don't get the block punch. You don't get that interception early. Maybe you keep it within one score.
It might have been a lower scoring game. But Alabama just did not move the football at all. Georgia made them so one-dimensional.
They did.
I mean, it looked like Alabama came out and said, we're going to run the football.
They ran the first series.
First three plays, run, and had to punt. And then the second series. They were still committed to the run, and then we blocked the punt, and then I think they figured out we're not going to run the football. And by then, Georgia's secondary was okay. We know what we got to do now, and they just put it to them.
Well, I think they knew they couldn't run the ball, but they were just going to try to set Georgia up a little bit, make Georgia think they were going to try to do that all night long.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it became obvious it wasn't worth even trying.
Yeah. I saw an interesting clip from Ben Watson, the ex-Georgia tight end, who's on SEC Network, and he said that Georgia came ready to play physical football. they brought it to him. And he made a point that, you remember the play, there was a penalty on the play, and the Georgia defensive lineman got in and pushed down Ty Simpson.
Yep.
And he said not a single offensive lineman came up and challenged that Georgia player. He said that's how much Georgia was ready for this game as opposed to Alabama.
Well, I think you're right. I think probably there was some stuff going on down there on the field. Like you said, I think the Alabama players knew what was about to happen mm-hmm. after Georgia got after them a little while there early. So
yeah. And the field position was a huge factor in the game, obviously. Alabama, I looked it up, they averaged starting on their 18-yard line. And Georgia averaged starting on the Georgia 40. But their first drive was after the punt, block punt. That was only like 25 yards. They had a short drive after the interception. Then they had a short drive when Alabama went for it on fourth down late. So they were able to score without having to go a long way. And Alabama's long scoring drive was like 95 yards.
Yeah.
It took them forever to get in the end zone. And it was helped by two 15-yard yep. penalties against DeMelo Jones, who's had an otherwise outstanding year. But it was just a great win by Georgia. And now, should that have affected them as far as the playoffs go?
Alabama?
Yeah.
Well, I think if you're going to have a conference championship game, you can't punish a team for but what does that mean?
I mean, my standpoint is every game should count. Every game. Even if you get to the conference championship game, that game should count. It counted for BYU, they got bumped. It counted for Virginia, they got bumped. Now, Indiana and Ohio State, they're 1-2. You know they weren't going to get bumped. And you probably felt like Georgia was not going to get bumped coming in at number 3 ahead of time. But Alabama at number 9, I felt like they were on the edge. And I felt like they should have been bumped. If you look, and we'll talk about that, the resumes of the various teams. Did you watch any of the other games, any other championship games?
I didn't watch them start to finish, but I watched. And then, of course, I watched, rewatched them, all the highlights 100 times on Sunday. But did you watch all of the Ohio State game?
I did not watch all of it. I was going back and forth between that and Virginia Duke game. The Virginia Duke game was
exciting,
actually more interesting than the Ohio State Indiana game. It'd be interesting to see the TV ratings come out as to which game was most watched. I mean, that's a 1-2, and you would think that'd be the big draw. I'm going to guess the Georgia Alabama game outdrew them all, but we'll see. The SEC has been the big draw all year on college football TV ratings. But that Virginia-Duke game was really interesting game. And, of course, you know, Virginia made a foolish penalty in overtime.
Oh, they did. It was.
And it cost them 15 yards, had to start at 40, and they throw an interception on the first play. And
it's over.
Yeah. I was pulling for Virginia. Carla Williams, the athletic director, they used to be here at Georgia, and I was hoping she could get them in the CFP. And then you would have had two teams made, either two of those other that gotten left out. So,
well, you kind of go through the exercise every week, who's in, who's out.
Yeah.
I mean, what – okay, you said you didn't think Alabama should be in.
I don't. And if I look at – it really comes down to those three teams. Alabama, Miami, Notre Dame. I believe Miami belongs in the playoffs. I think Notre Dame belongs in the playoffs. I think Alabama, the way they ended the season, should have backed themselves out of the playoffs. Obviously, they lost the game against Georgia. Against your guys, Auburn,
they never
could put them away.
They hadn't looked good in a month.
Huh.
They got beat by Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Well, this is just a big picture question. You're a lot better at all the what ifs, but you know, for years we had a subjective poll that just had. Now we got 12 slots, and we're arguing about that.
Well, I tell you this: you're always going to argue. If you had to expand it to 16, the arguments are going to be about teams 17 and 18. There's always going to be an argument. But here's what I thought might happen. When you had a playoff with just two teams, obviously there was some other teams that were worthy. And even with four teams, sometimes there was a fifth or sixth team that maybe could have won the championship. Now, when you get to 12, you think, okay, there's nobody else that get left out that could win the national championship. And I don't think anybody got left out last year that could have won the national championship. This year, I think Notre Dame could have won the national championship and they got left out. Maybe BYU could, I don't know. They're more on the edge. So we've got a system now that there's, even with 12 teams, we couldn't get all the legitimate contenders in there.
But my point about the rankings, why can't, I mean, for years we ranked them, you know, and that was just kind of how we did it. Everybody accepted. Why don't we just go back to a human poll and rank them 1 through 12 and quit worrying about the conference stuff?
Good point. I personally want the conference games to mean something, the conference championship. I like for the decision to be made on the field. If I were the college football commissioner, and I'll never be the college football commissioner, I'm not sure I'd have any polls. It would just be decided on, just like in the NFL, you got to win, buddy. If you win, you're in.
Just win, babe. What do you think about Tulane and James Madison?
They won.
But are they?
They're not legitimate threats to win the national championship, though.
But that's kind of my point. Yeah. You know, we accepted that. They're going to vote Alabama number one, and we're going to accept it, and they're going to have a trophy. Yeah, sometimes they used to split it, UPI and the AP, and whatever.
Well, remember Central Florida, the year that they beat Auburn in the bowl game, they claimed the national championship. Yeah. Our pastor is a Central Florida alum. He said, "We had a parade at Disney World. We're national champs." Well,
absolutely they were. They thought they were. But you look, I mean, I'm an Auburn fan, so I'm bitter about this. 2004, they went undefeated, got left out. Georgia, people don't think about this. If it hadn't been a 14 playoff in 21, they wouldn't.
That's
after
right.
Alabama beat them in
exactly.
the title game.
You're right.
I mean, they wouldn't have been won a national title. I don't know. It's kind of like NIL and the transfer portal and all the craziness. I mean, there are people that are a lot smarter than me that worked on this, and it still seems like they just hadn't quite gotten it right.
Here's what I think is one of the issues. They're trying to make this playoff fit with the traditional model we always had. If you're going to say a playoff is important, we want to have a playoff, I think you got to change the whole regular season. You got to restructure the whole game, and maybe you do away with conference championship games. Maybe, and this I've heard the suggestion that eventually we're going to get to a situation where we've got essentially 64 teams, and they're divided up into eight-man block, 18 blocks, and you play your whole season, and those eight, and maybe the runners up, are in the playoffs, and so you got a 16-team playoff, and you go from there. I don't know.
That's almost how you have to do it. I mean, they can talk about the NFL. Let's do it like the NFL. But you said last week, I mean, we talked about it a little bit. I forgot what exactly the thing you said, but in college football, it's not like the NFL. Even if you do that, it's not going to be like the NFL because you're not going to have every school.
No.
You're not going to have salary cap. You're not going to have
There's always going to be regional aspects to it. I mean, the football on the West Coast, football in the South, football in the Midwest, football up North. I mean, there's always going to be that aspect to it, and it's just not practical to fly college athletes all across the country. We're doing it. I mean, the Big Ten and the ACC are now coast-to-coast conferences, and they're flying their athletes all over the place. And I think that's a disservice to the athletes, and I don't really know. I mean, I guess it has something to do with TV ratings. But
who do you think has the best chance? I mean, not to necessarily pick the team you think is going to win it. But.
Well, here's when I look at this 12-team playoff. Number one, I think Tulane and James Madison have no chance. I don't think James Madison has a chance to win the first game. They play Oregon. I think they're going to lose. Tulane against Ole Miss, maybe. But then they'd have to play Georgia.
Yeah, they're building it the biggest sporting event in the history of the state of Mississippi.
So I think of the other 10 teams, I would not be shocked if any one of them
I agree with that.
Won the national championship.
I agree with that.
I think any one of them could get on a roll, and I think that Notre Dame could have done the same. You throw Notre Dame in there, and they'd be right in there with them.
Well, I said I agree. I don't think Miami's. I don't know. I think they'll get beat, and a lot that may come down to the quarterback play from your buddy
Carson Beck. Yeah, could be.
Because I just feel like. I think they're Texas. I think Texas Tech is a very dangerous team.
Oh, I do too.
I think Georgia's a dangerous team.
I do too. Now, if I'm going to slot the ones that are the most dangerous, I'm going to put Georgia, Texas Tech, and Ohio State, Indiana. Now, I don't think those two teams have been tested like Georgia has, nor do I think Texas Tech has been tested. I mean, just the SEC. You look at, we got five teams in. It's a testament to the strength of the league. And we had three other teams that Texas, Vanderbilt, and now, two others, Texas and Vanderbilt, they could have legitimately maybe be in there. Now, I don't think either one of them necessarily deserves to be in there over what we've got, but they would not be out of their league.
I think Vandy. And I like what Clark Lee, their coach, said.
I do, too.
He said,
We had a chance.
And that's kind of what I said to Notre Dame. You know, when I think about Notre Dame, you know, you can't get in the top 12, I mean, with the schedule you play. If I was an Indiana fan, I'd be nervous because they just have won and won and won. I mean, does it get to the point where it's just kind of time for them to lose? Ohio State, you know, last year they lost to Michigan. They came back and won it all. Is that kind of – help them. I think about weird things like that more than you do about people, you know, when they lose or they have a rematch with the team and all that. I think that's more of a factor than you do.
I just think that from what I've seen, they prove themselves to be legitimate contenders, and certainly they got a favorable seeding. They don't. I mean, Indiana's the number one seed now. That Oklahoma-Alabama winner. That's going to be a tough draw for them.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not going to play it at home. That's going to be at the Rose Bowl. Of course, Oklahoma has bad memories of the Rose Bowl from when Georgia beat them out there. How long has it been since Alabama's been to the Rose Bowl?
I was just thinking that. Surely they went under – they had one of playoff games with the Saban there, but I don't really remember either.
I don't know. Of course, I know Alabama has been to the Rose Bowl, but you have to go.
And back when Bear Bryant was playing.
Well, no, when he was playing, that's right. You have to go way back for that. And I guess Indiana, they played in it maybe once or twice. They were Big Ten champion, I think, in 67. They might have been to the Rose Bowl that year. I'm not sure.
I heard Kirk Herbstreit talking one time. He said, you know, people in other parts of the country don't understand when you grow up in the Midwest, you know, it gets to the end of the, you know, winter time in December and there's snow, it's cold and dreary. And he said, you turn on the TV and the Rose Bowl's on, it's like Disney World.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's
paradise.
Just,
that's right.
But that's true for people up there. I mean,
well, you know, as a season ticket holder, I had the option to order tickets for the postseason. The only quarterfinal game that I requested was the Rose Bowl. I said, if Georgia goes to the Rose Bowl, I'm going to go. But obviously they're going to go.
Did you go when they went?
I did not go when they went to Oklahoma. My daughter and son-in-law went, and they had a great experience out there. And still one of the most incredible football games I've ever seen. Lincoln Riley, I think, lost his mind in the second half, made some very serious coaching errors, and helped Georgia win that football game.
I know we touched on it a second ago. What do you think about Vandy? I mean, so you just don't think they were one of the best 12?
Well, I think that Vanderbilt, if you put them in here, would be legitimate. They're more legitimate than Tulane or James Madison. I looked up and looked at what they did. Alabama beat them by a couple of touchdowns. And when they lost at Texas, it wound up being 34-31, but Vanderbilt scored with like 30 seconds to go, and they had to go for an onside kick. So it really was not as close as the score indicated. So if they'd have won either one of those games, they're in.
Oh, yeah.
They're in. In fact, they might have been in Atlanta last week in the SEC championship game. And what a story that would have been.
Oh, my gosh.
To see Vanderbilt. And that might have affected whether Georgia was there. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of them, maybe you can parlay, or parfait, as my Uncle Jack used to say, the conversation in the Heisman.
Yeah. So we got four finalists, right?
Yeah, Vandy, the reason I said that, obviously, is
Diego Pavia.
Diego Pavia is one of the four finalists.
Julian Sayin from Ohio State, Fernando Mendoza from Indiana, and Jeremiah Love from Notre Dame. Now, I know who I would vote for.
And wait, by the way, Blake had a Heisman vote for years.
I did. I had a Heisman vote back in the 80s, 70s and 80s, and voted every year. And my rule was I voted for the best player I saw. I didn't have to see him in person. If I saw him on TV, that counted. Now, back then, you didn't see as much of players as you see now. I haven't hardly seen anything of Jeremiah Love this year. And I've only seen limited Mendoza and Sayin. But Diego Pavia is the best player I've seen. And that's who I'd vote for.
All right, let me ask you a question. As a former Heisman voter and a prestigious member of the media, 1997, Peyton Manning's last year at Tennessee. Everybody sort of thought he'd be a shoe-in if he had the kind of year that he ended up actually having. Seemed like to me, and I know this is literally not true, but it just seemed like to me about halfway through the year, the media just had a big conference call, and they said, okay, we're going to start talking about Charles Woodson at Michigan. We don't want Peyton Manning. Danny Werfel won it last year. We don't want another SEC guy. And it just seemed like there was this momentum in the media and everything. Defensive player, never won it. And Charles Woodson, I know we'll get thousands of emails that I'm talking bad about Charles Woodson. He proved it. He's in the NFL Hall of Fame. He was an unbelievable player. But just by the standard that it had been, the person that won it, it seemed like leading up to that point, Peyton Manning should have won it. Why do you, and again, and taking that a step further, do people jump on Vandy quarterback, Diego Pavia's bandwagon and say, okay, well, they didn't get in the playoff, so let's let the Heisman be his consolation prize?
I don't know if you would see it quite that organized. There can be a groundswell of media attention that gets directed one way. There's no question about that. And I remember that, as all this talk about, well, it's time for a defensive player to win the Heisman. You know, why come they don't recognize them, you know? Well, for that matter, maybe Brock Bowers should have won it when he was at Georgia, you know? How about a tight end? I think ESPN is such a dominant media presence now. They wield a lot of influence as to who gets it and the way they talk about it throughout the year. I mean, they start talking about it second or third week of the season.
Week two, that Mateer from Oklahoma was going
to
win it.
It was way too early to even begin talking about that kind of stuff. And so, it's not that I blame those guys. I mean, that's what they get paid for.
Right.
They're supposed to talk about that kind of stuff. But they have such a wide platform that it just carry such weight. Now, social media has diminished that a little bit, because now, I can put something on X, or I can put it on Facebook, and it can spread.
Yep.
So everybody can be their own editor these days. So there is some of that goes on. But who do you think is going to win of those four? I think Mendoza's going to win.
That's exactly what I was going to say, but I sort of agree with you. I think if you had to pick a quarterback to be your quarterback, you'd pick Pavia.
Yeah, I mean, he's changed a program that was on the bottom and brought them up, elevated to heights they've never seen before. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do next year when he's gone.
Well, they got signed the kid from.
Yeah, they got the Georgia.
They stole Georgia's
commitment, to Jared Curtis. We'll see how he does and everything, but yeah.
But the trivia that the young fans don't know that you and I know, have people even email their answers for a free hamburger steak. The only guy to win the Heisman twice. You know that.
That's
easy trivia question.
Yeah.
People our age, but who do you think, other than Peyton Manning, who do you think got robbed that should have won it that didn't win it?
Well, this is an answer maybe won't be popular with Georgia fans, but I think Billy Lothridge maybe should have won the Heisman Trophy when he was at Georgia Tech.
The Gainesville Red Elephant.
And going way back, Charlie Trippi. Was the most outstanding player of his era, and instead it went to an Army player. Was that Blanchard or Davis? I can't remember. One in 1 year and one the next year.
Did Doc Blanchard and Glenn Davis both win it?
They each won the Heisman. Yeah. They went back to back. So you go back all the way back to that. Now, who? I always thought that Gino Toretta's winning the Heisman Trophy was a very travesty against, obviously, Garrison Hurst at Georgia. He had an outstanding season, and I think he would have been a worthy Heisman winner.
And then Miami gets blown out in the Sugar Bowl by Alabama that same year.
Yeah. So in more recent years, I'm trying to think.
It hurt Garrison Hurst that Georgia didn't make it into that first SEC championship game.
That's right. That's right.
They lost two big games, but anyway.
Yeah, they lost to Tennessee and Florida that year, and both of them were close. It would have been, if they'd have been in that game, I don't know if they'd beat Alabama, but at least they would have gotten the exposure. Yeah,
well, I'm just saying he might have had a better chance to win it if they'd have won one of those
games. That's right. Well, I wanted to talk about the SEC this year, and let's just go down the list, and here's what I want us to think about. Each team, when they look back at the regular season, satisfied or dissatisfied? That's our options. And we'll just go in alphabetical order. That starts with Alabama, 7-1 in the conference, 10-3 overall, and they're in the college football playoffs. Satisfied or dissatisfied?
I think they're right on the fence. You got a lot of Bama fans that are just happy they're in the playoff right now, but you got a lot of them. They're so spoiled with the run they had that they. So I think they're on the fence. I think.
Well, they certainly, the way it started with that inexplicable loss to Florida State, which even now, looking back, I can't figure out how they lost to Florida State. But they have to be satisfied with where they are. I mean, they're in the playoffs. They got a chance. Now they got a rematch with Oklahoma. Frankly, they should have beat Oklahoma the first time.
Yep.
They turnovers and weird plays. And I mean, they should have won that game. And I feel like they'll probably win it again.
Well, I think this is not exclusively talking about Alabama here. I think that Florida State game, that was an example of their young kids. Everybody had an idea in their mind of what Florida State was going to be, what Alabama. And I just think, for whatever reason, just psychologically, Florida State was able to play good early and just won the game. And then as the season went on, that just thing.
Tommy Castellanos was trying to get an extra year of eligibility. I don't think he's been able to do that yet, has he?
He hadn't.
Yeah. So he's from down in Ware County.
Yep.
And down in South Georgia. All right, Arkansas.
They disappointed.
0-8, 2-10, fired the coach.
They're disappointed.
Oh, they got to be dissatisfied, obviously. It was a disastrous year for them. They came so close in a lot of games.
I know.
To winning. They almost beat Texas A&M.
They always seem like they're on the fence. They can go the one way.
You know, it's the program is kind of taking a nosedive in the last decade. You look back when they first came into the SEC, they were a formidable opponent to deal with. And obviously Georgia beat them in the SEC championship 1 year. So they were able to get there.
That was Danny Ford, wasn't it? Or not, no.
No, I don't think Danny Ford was the coach then. They've just kind of taken a nosedive.
Again, these young fans don't understand the Razorbacks used to be the old Southwest Conference. They used to be great back in the day.
Yeah. All right, how about Auburn, your team? 1-7 in the conference, 5-7 overall, fired the coach.
We're disappointed. Disappointed, obviously. Hopefully this will be the thing that spurs them to, you know, the new coach, whatever.
Are you interested in what Tulane does? I mean, your coach is coming from where? Where's he coming from?
South Florida.
So yeah. He's not in the playoffs. No. Are they in a bowl game?
They had a good team. I'm sure they are.
Is he going to coach them? Do you know?
No, he's not.
Okay. All right, Florida.
Disappointed.
2-6, 4-8. Yeah, certainly got to be dissatisfied. Fired their coach. And I saw where Buster Faulkner is leaving Tech.
I can't believe
he's
going to
be the offensive
coordinator. I'm glad you remembered to mention that. Yeah, that's big.
That's, you know, so somewhat of a lateral move. I don't know exactly what's behind it. I saw that the ex-Prince Avenue quarterback, it's been rumored, just rumors, he may go with him.
Really?
Now, DJ Lagway's still down there at Florida, so it's not like...
Well, I think he went to Florida for the same reason Lane Kiffin was thinking about going to Florida. I mean, I think they have potential to be, you know, potential is a dangerous word, but I think if I was a Georgia fan, I'd be a little bit nervous. Him going down there, think the guy from Tulane is going to be a good coach, but...
Look, I am expecting one of these days Buster Faulkner to be a very successful head coach.
I agree.
On the college level. And so he's going to be a star in the industry for years to come. And so he's going to be a force to deal with down there. All right, Georgia, 7-1 conference, 12-1 in the playoffs with a bye. You got to be satisfied with that.
How can you argue with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a great season. It's not been a lot of great games. We've had some games that, I mean, the Tennessee game, we were lucky to win that game. It took us to the last 30 seconds to put Florida away. It took us to the fourth quarter to put Ole Miss away. This game against Alabama may have been the most dominant performance we had all year.
Yeah, I think it was.
So, very satisfied.
If you're a Georgia fan, you got to be tickled.
All right, Kentucky, 2-6 in the conference, 5-7 overall, fired their coach.
They're disappointed.
They're dissatisfied.
They're probably like Auburn, though. They're probably welcoming the change, breath of fresh air, need a new.
Well, they're not excited about their basketball team right
now.
Wow,
that's,
they're
you got
really
a point.
Struggling. who did they bring in as their coach? I can't remember.
I can't either.
Yeah. All right, LSU, 3-5, 7-5 overall, fired their coach, but they hired Lane Kiffin. Are they satisfied or dissatisfied?
Well, I think they're just dissatisfied with the season, but I think they're happy right now. They think they got them a coach.
Mm-hmm. They're going to be in the Texas Bowl against Houston. And is the old coaching staff going to coach LSU in the?
I guess so, yeah.
So Kiffin will step aside and let the interim do his thing. So, they're dissatisfied with the way the season went, because obviously they started the year thinking, hey, we beat Clemson, open the season, we got a chance to have
it. They had high expectations in the early.
Oh, yeah. All right, Mississippi State, 1-7 in the conference, 5-7 overall. They got into the Duke's Mayo Bowl against Wake Forest because there weren't enough teams with winning records. Are they satisfied with their season or dissatisfied?
You got to say dissatisfied with 5-7, but they're always right around 500.
I think they're satisfied.
You think so?
Because look at what they did last year, 2-10, and didn't have a conference win.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
So they made a jump this year. And until they played Georgia, they were competitive in a lot of their games. Now, after the Georgia game, the season kind of fizzled out. They didn't play as well as the end
of the
year.
I thought going into the Georgia game, that would be a closer game than it was.
All right, Missouri. 4-4 conference, 8-4 overall, going to the Gator Bowl to play Virginia. Satisfied or dissatisfied?
I think their fans thought they were going to be better than that.
So they'd be dissatisfied then?
I think so. What do you think?
I'm this is one I'm kind of on the fence about.
I don't know many Missouri fans, do you?
I don't. But, you know, they started the year very hopeful, and then they got to a tougher part of the schedule, and it didn't work out for them. Also, they kept their coach, though. I mean, every time a job was open, they'd say, well, the Missouri coach is a...
And that's big for them.
Yeah, yeah. And they got a new stadium addition down there, so maybe that's okay. All right, Oklahoma, 6-2 conference, 10-2 overall in the playoffs.
They're happy.
Oh, yeah, they're satisfied, even though they don't have an offense.
I know, and I felt like there were times where they were kind of hanging on by their fingernails during the season when they didn't have enough offense, but they got it, managed to get it done.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ole Miss, 7-1 conference, 11-1 overall, but they lost their coach and got into the playoffs. Are they satisfied or dissatisfied?
Right this second, they're satisfied.
Yeah.
What you think?
Yeah, but if they lose, that's just going to be more vitriol they're going to heap on.
I just hope for their sake they beat Tulane. you know, I would have been looking too far ahead. But if I was Georgia, if Kiffin was there and their program was intact like it was, I'd have been nervous about a rematch with them.
Mm-hmm. All right, South Carolina, 1-7 conference, 4-8 overall.
Disappointed.
Oh, they're definitely dissatisfied. I've read where their quarterback is a transfer risk, Sellers, and they said he was a transfer risk last year. And they brought him back. I'm not sure what they got out of him. It was a pretty disappointing season. They had a chance to beat A&M. They had a chance to get a couple of wins here and there.
Just let it.
They just didn't.
They just weren't.
I don't know. Do you think that Beamer will be on the hot seat next year?
Probably.
Yep. All right, Tennessee, 4-4 overall, 4-4 conference, 8-4 overall in the Music City Bowl against Illinois.
I think they're disappointed.
I do, too.
I think they think they should be Georgia, Alabama, Oklahoma, Texas, all these people.
They made the playoffs last year. No. They're not in the playoffs this year. They got to be dissatisfied. It's definitely a step back. I don't know. How much do you think the Nico Iamala-Aba episode, did that have any downstream effects that affected the rest of the season?
I don't know. It's a great question. I mean, you know, the other guy played well three times.
I thought he was more accurate passer than Iamala-Aba. And, of course, over at UCLA, they only won 3 games, so it's not like he was the be-all to end-all.
Yeah.
I think he certainly hurt himself financially.
I do think Tennessee, you know, they wandered in the wilderness there for a while. I think their program is in a much better spot than it was five or 6 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Josh Heupel, I think, is a good coach.
Yeah, so in that regard, I think they're pleased. They're disappointed with this season.
Man, they just got rid of their defensive coordinator, is that right? I think they just fired him, so maybe they'll do that. All right, Texas A&M, 7-1 conference, 11-1 overall in the playoffs. I think they're satisfied.
Just a little bit, yeah.
But I think they're also disappointed at that last game against Texas. I mean, they'd have been playing Alabama and Atlanta instead of Georgia. They could be the number 2 or 3 seed.
Well, I think losing might be the best. Like I said about Ohio State earlier, it might have been the best thing that ever happened to them. You know, get that monkey off their back, get that first loss. Maybe they can circle the wagons and play. Yeah. But their fans are pretty dang happy now.
I agree. All right, Texas. 6-2 conference, 9-3 overall in the Citrus Bowl against Michigan. I think they're dissatisfied.
They are.
I mean, unless they are on the top, primo, they're going to be dissatisfied. They can be 10-2 and not be satisfied.
They're like Georgia fans were for years. Good, but not great. And they don't like it. They're not great.
And really, they don't have as much as Georgia has as far as reason to be that way, because Texas has not been, it's been a while since Texas has been a real power. Now, they got into the playoffs last year, and I don't think they deserve to be in the playoffs this year. I'm not sure they have a team capable of winning a national championship, so I don't think it's any travesty they got left out. I mean, even the games they won, they had to go to overtime to beat Kentucky. They had to go to overtime to beat Mississippi State, didn't they?
Yeah.
And so they just...
But I think Texas, I feel about Texas like I did about Georgia for a long time. I think the Georgia fans were right to have higher expectations. You know, good, we want to be great, but we're not good. I think Texas does have great potential.
Oh, yeah. They've got everything you need to be a power.
But they can't.
Maybe there's just too much competition in the state of Texas those athletes. I mean, you've got so many high-profile programs. Now Texas Tech is onto the scene as a high-profile program. You already had TCU and SMU who were in the playoff worthy. Now you got Texas A&M. It's a big state, and there's a lot of big players over there. So, all right, last team, Vanderbilt. 6-2 overall, 10-2. 6-2 in the conference, 10-2 overall. Playing Iowa in the ReliaQuest Bowl. Satisfied or dissatisfied?
I think overall they got to be satisfied.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, they were, last year was a somewhat, quote, magical season. They were 6-6.
Yep.
beat Alabama. This year, 10-2. Have they ever had a 10-win season?
I thought they said they had 3 10-win seasons in the history of the program. Is that even possible?
I don't know. They had to go 10-0 because they haven't had a 10-win season lately.
Back in the day, that's right.
But they got to be satisfied. Clark Lee has got a real challenge to make sure that this is not just a Diego Pavia blip, and that he can convince recruits and transfers to come in. We're going to be a power. We're here to stay.
Well, as we talked about last week, Diego Pavia is the difference, but they got some other athletes that roster. And that's the hard part, is keeping everything else going. You know, can you be good enough on the line of scrimmage? Can you have the receivers? If you got the great quarterback that they're going to have, you know, has he got receivers to get it to? But I like them right now. If I was a Vandy fan, I'd be excited. It's better to be a Vandy fan than an Auburn fan.
Oh, yeah. So, were you satisfied with Auburn's recruiting haul?
I guess. I was more worried. I've been more worried about the last couple of weeks who's not leaving. Mm-hmm. It seemed like they got a chance to sort of retain. They got a good roster on paper.
Well, now, the backup quarterback, he's pretty much gone.
He's gone. But I'm fine with that. I mean, I hate it for him, but I think they need a running back. They signed a running back. They need they keep that Cam Coleman kid on the roster.
He's a real deal.
I think they're going to get good quarterback play good offensive play overall with the new coach. I'm excited. I'm not going to be too optimistic, but I think it's about as good as it can be right now, given the circumstances.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, Georgia wound up, I think, number 3 in recruiting, and probably would have been 1 or 2 if they'd been able to keep Jared Curtis, the quarterback. They only got 1 5-star, I think, coming in, but they signed about 28. They got probably the best punter in the country, the best place kicker in the country. And we saw how important that is. Saw what Ohio State did up there at Indiana. Guy missing a 27-yard field goal that would have tied the game. That has to be automatic.
Well, I think I probably notice it, or, you know, not being Georgia my team. I mean, they've had great special team kicker play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, when you're, you know, and they're playing against Auburn, you're cheering against them, you know, and they're just controlling field position. Not just the kicker, but the punter. I mean, that's a big deal.
It is. It's always been important in Georgia to have that position well staffed. And there's a long line of place kickers, and I'll have to write them down sometime and remember all the names. And going all the way back to probably Alan Leavitt was maybe the first one that you can really say, although you could – point to Bobby Etter, the old straight-on kicker back in the day.
Who was the first soccer-style kicker, Georgia?
I think Leavitt was the first soccer. And he was, from what I've heard, he kicked with the side of his toe, where most of them kick with their instep, is what I understand. Now, he was a little bit different in the way he did it. We did have one more straight-on kicker, Steve Crumley, from a Cedar Shoals graduate.
Did he go to see? I forgot he was
a Cedar Shoals guy. We actually had, of course, we had John Casey from Clark Central and Billy Bennett from Athens Academy in that long line of kickers as well. So Georgia's had great kickers forever.
John Casey played in the NFL about 20 years, didn't he?
He played there a long time. He had a great career. He sure did. Yeah. The old lefty, John Casey. Well, what's your Christmas plans? You got any plans for the holidays?
Just normal family stuff. Not going any big trips or anything. What about you?
No, we're all be close to home. We do a low country boil for our Christmas feast for our extended family, and we always look forward to that. My nephew, Todd Pulliam, who's in the tree business, if you need a tree surgeon, Todd Pulliam, Pulliam Tree Service, does the cooking, it's a low country boil on steroids. He throws in lobster and crab legs too.
Yeah. When is this? You might have to show up on your doorstep.
There you go. So we're looking forward to that. We're not sure when we're going to be back with our next podcast. There's no significant games this week. Army-Navy big game on TV, and there's actually a bowl game this weekend.
Which one is it?
I heard it on the radio today. I forgot which one it is, but there is a bowl game this weekend. But Army-Navy is certainly a great game, and I always enjoy watching that one.
Well, if we really want to make it boring for our people watching, we can come back next week and talk about how the baseball winter meetings finished up and how and the Falcons. We can talk about the Falcons.
Oh, man.
How terrible they are.
They just keep finding ways to lose. And I tell you, I really like Cousins. I just think he's a neat guy. And he's not a bad quarterback. But they just don't seem to be able to have what it takes to.
Isn't it, I know we don't get too far off on the Falcons. Penix. You know, in that typical Falcons, I mean, that guy, he's like the last four out of the last five seasons he's played football, his season's ended with an injury.
Yeah.
And it happened again when he played with the Falcons.
You know who he started out with, don't you?
Indiana, that's right.
So he was in Indiana for two or three years, then went to Washington, and then got drafted by the Falcons. And I always thought, this guy's an injury risk. He's had numerous knee injuries. So
it's coming to fruition, of course, with the Falcons.
Yep, yep. All right. Well, okay. Well, we're going to take a break now, and we'll probably come back and do a breakdown leading up to the college football playoffs, game by game, and give you our prediction. So look for that coming up in your inbox or your subscription list on down the line. So. Right now, we're going to sign off here on Sidelines and Headlines.
Thank you for watching.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. And how about them dogs, man?
I can't say it.
SEC champs.
War Eagle.
Two straight years. That's the first time Kirby's done it. Two straight years.
I know.
In fact, let's see, you have to go back to Dooley's era, 80, 81 and 82, to find a time we did it. Two straight years. I was surprised. I had not counted up. This is Georgia's 16th SEC championship.
All time.
I used to be able to list them off, but I can't do it anymore.
Well, I'm a Georgia Bulldog fan. Don't like this. I love Steve Spurrier. It's crazy. They won the Gators. You know, back in the 90s when they first started, it was them and Alabama every year. The Gators won four in a row.
That's
incredible.
Did you know that was – he was there, and when Urban Meyer was there, it's kind of a blip. Florida's been underwhelming all those other years. Maybe now they've got the right guy. We'll see. John Summerall and Buster Faulkner, the offensive coordinator.
Well, I know we don't want to talk about it, but just win it twice as big, you know, it'll be interesting, you know, next year this time, where will Georgia be?
That's right. That's
a different world.
All right, good deal. Hey, we glad you listened to Lynn and watched this week. Be sure to like and subscribe. Again, send some emails, sidelinesheadlines@gmail.com.
Thanks for watching.
All right. Signing off from Brett's. Good day.